Imagine this for a moment. Your child is splitting their time between two different homes now that you're going through a divorce. They're embarrassed about having to carry an extra bag to take to dad's, or having their lovey peeking out of their backpack, or because they left their homework at their parents' house that they won't be back at for another week. Kids can really struggle when they're experiencing their parents' separation, and they don't know how to communicate what they're feeling or the circumstances around them. So if there's a way that we can create some ease for them in this transition, would you take it? This is Divorced and Determined AF, the show that supports women with the information you need to know before, during, and beyond divorce. My name is Jamie Milam, and I am determined to empower you to live the aligned life that you desire and deserve through the power of awareness. And it's completely understandable that one of your biggest concerns during a divorce is the effect it'll have on your kiddos, especially those little ones. After a divorce, some children naturally exhibit changes in their behavior, both at home and at school. And given that our kids spend pretty much more awake hours at school than at home, it certainly would be helpful to expand our tribe and bring in some support from within the school to help our kids during this time. Which is exactly why I've asked Natalie Parmenter to join me today. She's a former elementary school teacher of 10 years, and she's the founder of Primary Focus, the parent's guide to elementary school. Her reason for leaving teaching was the disconnect between parents and teachers. She believes that the key to any child's success is parents and teachers working together, and Primary Focus gives parents all the tools they need to make that happen. So when I heard this, I immediately asked Natalie if there were things that she thought teachers wished parents knew about helping their kids out during this tough transition, and she absolutely thought so. So she's going to give us some practical advice on how to inform the teachers about your divorce, including what information to share and the best methods for communication, along with how to handle co-parenting dynamics with the school. And when this episode is over, you can always check out some of the other free resources that we've added for you in the Peace of Mind Resource Library at peaceofminddivorce.info. Now, let's get started. Divorce is an overwhelming process that most of us did not know how to navigate until we were in the thick of it, which can cost us a lot more time, money, and energy than necessary. Divorced and Determined AF hopes to change that. I'm your host, Jamie Milam. I'm a realtor and a certified divorce specialist who not only works with divorcing couples when selling their home, but I am also divorced, and I know firsthand how much having thorough resources would positively impact women for years to come. I'm bringing together fellow divorcees and experts working in the field to talk about this private taboo topic, all with the goal to help you feel prepared, educated, assured, confident, and empowered to make informed decisions related to your divorce journey. So whether you're just now considering a divorce, in the midst of it, or are now navigating a new norm and are determined AF to do it your way, this is your safe space. You deserve it. Gosh, Natalie, I am so thrilled that you're here today to bring perspectives for our mamas listening, especially for moms who really kind of need to expand their tribe and give their kids this really supportive environment as they're experiencing this divorce season at home. Now, I mean, my son was in high school, but I feel like really no matter what age your kid is, when you separate, the majority of moms probably share a similar concern of how it's going to affect them overall and especially their academics. So Natalie, if you don't mind, before we kind of dive into the specifics of what, when, and how parents could talk with their kids' teachers about their divorce, it seems like the best place to start really is just by getting a glimpse of it from your side, from a teacher's perspective in the classroom. Like maybe you could share with us some of the ways that you've seen kids' behavior change in the classroom when they're experiencing divorce at home.
Of course. I feel like you see it go in two directions. And I taught elementary school and spent a lot of time in lower elementary school. And if kids are going through a major change at home, they're starting to pick up on a little bit of turbulence, or they're moving to a new place, they're starting to switch back and forth between their parents' homes, you can see them become maybe a little bit sullen in class. Some children, their personality just lends to almost like checking out a little bit, not feeling as excited, just kind of taking a step back from the normal things that they enjoy. You can also see it on the complete opposite end of the range where they are starting to act up in class. They're getting a little too excited and they're kind of craving attention from another stable adult in their life. Children spend the one when they're not at home, they're at school. There are two places they spend most of their time. And in the elementary school setting, the teacher can almost take on a role of an extra parent for some children, especially if they are starting to feel like things are changing at home. So they will sometimes treat you like a parent and give a reaction that is not what you'd expect necessarily, but it's because they trust their teacher that they feel like they can act out a little bit or just change their behavior. And in that note, too, sometimes you'll see kids start to be a little more like lovey and whiny with their teacher if they're really young, like almost trying to get a little extra affirmation and attention from them. So it really depends a lot on the child's personality, but those are kind of the three main areas I saw kids going to.
I mean, you described not only elementary students, but I feel like grown-ass women who are experiencing divorce. You know, I mean, sometimes it's the truth. Like, we shut down too. You know, we sometimes don't want to engage in the things that we enjoy, or sometimes we act out looking for attention in other ways, in affirmations in other ways. So it makes sense to me that we would see this probably in a little bit more of an elevated way in our kids at school. So, gosh, that's tough, you know? And I'm sure that there's probably some mama listening right now that they probably just felt what you said at their core. Like, I mean, it pulls at my heartstrings thinking about a little one feeling like they need to become a little bit more clingier to their teacher because they're just not feeling that positive presence maybe at home if there's tension there. And I feel like we all just want to take that feeling away from our kids and not have them feel that pain. And I think that a lot of parents, you know, moms especially, we probably avoid making this really tough decision of a divorce simply so that we can avoid our kids having to be in this position and experience exactly what you just described. You know, we don't want them to feel out of their norm, and we certainly don't want them to feel any turmoil. And that is tough. But I think this is a good moment, even a segue, even to remind some of our listeners that you're making a decision that is likely going to help make you a happier version of you, and your kids are going to be able to see that, and you're going to be able to show up more fully for them in the long run. So let me ask you this, Natalie, you know, have you seen those behaviors present differently over time if the teachers have become aware of the situation at home, whether that's in the beginning or in the process? Like, if you become aware of a divorce, you're, I'm sure, able to approach the child differently. And so do you see those behaviors change over time?
Yes, absolutely. And I would say communication with the teacher is so important. Listen, you don't have to call us and tell us why it's happening or what's happening and get into all that. If you want to, if you feel like it's relevant, you can tell the teacher a little bit more information. But simply getting just a short email, 5 sentences, hey, you know, we've moved out, we're having a separation, we're starting to figure out a custody agreement. That information is so helpful because if a child is starting to act differently, the teacher is not going to discipline them for something that's out of their control, right? Like, if your child is suddenly not completing their classwork, they're kind of goofing off in class, a teacher is going to snap on that because that is their job to make sure that the children are on task and that they are learning skills to be productive adults when they grow up. But if they are starting to see, oh, hey, they're a little off task, they're goofing off, they're not totally with it, maybe that's because there's a big change going on at home. And you can kind of come in from a different angle and there is context to the behavior. And so you'll still see these behaviors. Like, the children are still going through something regardless. But the way that the teacher and the school community can handle it and approach it makes a really big difference. We're not going to excuse poor behavior or not getting work done, but we're going to understand and maybe see if there are different ways that we can react to the situation. We understand kids are more than just machines coming in and completing work. We want to look at the whole child, and knowing what's going on at home gives us a picture of what is going on and we can react in a better way.
Yeah, I'm sure it helps be able to help the student channel that energy differently, because it's not just a matter of, oh, they're going through, you know, a phase. It's there's actually some emotional trauma underneath that is probably contributing to this behavior. So why don't we approach this with, I love this phrase actually, and it's appropriate here, with kid gloves, you know, to say like, hey, this is something that we know is happening, and you can begin to maybe sit down with them a little bit longer or go ahead and approach it with a different perspective.
Exactly. I think about a few years ago, I had a student. The parents were trading off every week. And so on Fridays, one parent would drop off, and then Friday afternoon, a different parent would pick that child up and take them home for the following week. Each parent had a set of clothes, so that wasn't an issue. The one issue was their stuffed animal that they never slept without. And so they were putting their little lovey into the backpack, zipping it up. And this child started acting really strange during pack-up time and, like, didn't want kids coming over to the cupboard at the same time and was, like, acting really strange. And, you know, I went over to be like, come on, you get your life right. You know, we got to go. The bus is leaving in 5 minutes. We got to go. And what I realized was this child, even though this was their most prized possession and lovey, was horribly embarrassed to have their stuffed animal in their backpack, didn't want anybody to see it. And so that is behavior I wouldn't normally see from a child, because they're not supposed to have things like that in their backpack. In this case, they do. And of course, the parents had told me about it. So as soon as I walked over, I realized, oh, hey, this kid's just embarrassed. But those are the things that you need to know, because you would never think that that situation would cause them to get in trouble during pack-up time. Kids just are thinking so differently than adults. The things that they prioritize are different than us. So that communication just really helps.
Yeah, I can imagine so. So I guess that leads me to ask, in your opinion, then, is there an ideal time frame in this process for our listener to share with their child's teacher about a pending divorce? Is it in advance? I'm sure that if behavior starts to change, that could enact maybe a teacher to contact the parent, and then it might come out that time. But, like, in your opinion, is there an ideal time frame to approach this?
Yes, I think the school might not be the first people that are finding out, but maybe as soon as those big changes are happening, you know, for example, maybe you know that the separation's happening, but you don't move out for another month because you have to get everything kind of situated. Maybe that week before or the couple days prior is when you say, like, hey, we've broken some news and, you know, we're going to be figuring out a new living situation. That's when you can kind of come in the week that it's happening, unless there is, you know, something dangerous happening at home, or there are big concerns other than that you'd want to tell the teacher about. Something else that you might want to consider is letting us know what the child knows. I know every family comes up with their own version of talking about what's happening and what's going on, because sometimes when you're trying to comfort a child, but you don't know the context of what's happening, it can be difficult. You don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to make assumptions. So any kind of details, you know, is the other partner, you know, leaving the state? Like, are they moving very far away? Are you guys living down the street from each other and just swapping off? That kind of context of any custody agreement really helps as well.
Okay. So you've mentioned a couple of times an email. And that was something that I wanted to ask you specifically, was knowing that this is probably a really tough and vulnerable conversation, and I'm sure, I can only imagine that it would be difficult to have without the child being around if it's face-to-face, but is an email the best way to deliver this news to the teacher, or is this something that face-to-face is better for?
I think that depends on you. The thing is, it's hard to get face-to-face with teachers. You know, if you want to try and arrange time for a phone call, you can. But as a teacher, I frequently received bad news over email. Maybe it wasn't bad news for me, but it was bad news coming from somebody else. And that is totally okay. I also know that if you are in the middle of a separation or divorce, you got a lot of people calling you. You got a lot of people asking you for meetings. And so doing this over email, so long as you are just kind of clear about what's going on, it is totally fine.
I think the other benefit about an email is that it allows you to become far more clear and concise and not go down the rabbit hole of all of the things that led to this, because there is a sense of oversharing that can happen with the divorce. And sometimes it's for reason of not having anybody else to vent to, or feeling like the teacher needs to know everything. But you have mentioned a couple of things in terms of, like, what are the arrangements for When is the child switching back and forth? Are they switching back and forth? What do we need to know for who to contact if there is a late pickup, if it's car pickup? I'm sure that type of stuff is important. But would you say there's anything that isn't necessary to share?
You know, I think discretion is always a good area to lay in. I have definitely had parents just sharing a lot of details about their divorce. And while it's always, you know, I'm compassionate and I don't need to hear it. And sometimes it turns into maybe a magazine article about your divorce. And while I'm sorry, I'm not your friend at the same time, like I am the child's teacher. So I don't think you have to get into every last little detail. I don't even necessarily need to know why. Just keeping it child focused is the most important thing, because the teacher may have a few questions to send back to you, and that might be a time where you can figure out what details to send. So for example, I might be asking, can you give me a rundown of who are the people in your life, right? Like maybe you're moving in with your parents and now, like, yes, you are still the main guardian, but we're going to hear a lot more about grandma and grandpa on the scene. And like, that is the kind of context that I really need to hear, because what I don't want to do is look at your child and say like, oh, are they visiting from out of town for the weekend? No, we moved, you know, like, I want to understand who are the people in their life. What is your child's day-to-day life looking like? How are those things changing? And I think you just don't need to share like how hard it is and why it all happened. Teachers have very limited time to be checking their emails. And so they want to give you the best response possible. Even in a conference, they need to make sure it stays focused on the child's well-being and the child's academics. So just being brief is really good. On my website, primaryfocus.tv, I actually have templates for helping to write to teachers that give examples of the perfect email in 4 or 5 sentences. And so if you go to my website, you can download some there and kind of get an idea of what the perfect way of showing that you care, showing that you're compassionate looks like, while also being brief with them.
Yeah, I think brief is the best way to go in this. If you focus in on setting the expectation that, hey, I just want to let you know that we're actually going through a separation. This is when we're separating. We have or haven't told a child. This is what we have told the child. This is what his day-to-day is going to look like, where he's going to be, when, and who is involved. You know, who else is still at home? You know, whatever that looks like, I work full time as well, or whatever the work situations are, or I'm going to be returning back to work if you've been a stay at home mom, like things like that. But like the details that are between the adults, anything that has to do with the actual marital issues aren't really necessary, I don't feel like, to tell a teacher. I think on top of that, a lot of parents will tend to, especially if there are issues, right? If there are bigger concerns happening, then they feel like they're expecting for the school to do something about it at times. And without really going into specifics, just because each state, but also each school will certainly have different limitations. But I would imagine that there are some wishes that parents tend to share with you that really just are not within the school's scope of being able to meet. Am I right about that?
Sometimes, yes, schools can help with a lot of resources and a lot of things, but that's going to end up being more, are you having food insecurity? Let's get you connected with the food bank, but not necessarily finding the lawyer for your divorce. The way that I think of it with the sharing is a frequent problem that might come up. This is unrelated to divorce, is a child saying a swear word in class and me having to write the email and saying like, oh my gosh, little Susie said the F word. And very often parents will just respond like, wow, I don't know where they heard that. We'll have a talk. We all know where they heard that word, you know, somewhere in their universe, but we don't have to hear every last thing. We just kind of need to know like things are being handled and that they're in a safe place at night, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you just said that too, safe place at night. I think that parents who do have concerns, you know, especially those that have maybe domestic violence involved in the situation, or they have taken their child, and sometimes that is subjective, right? You know, we think we're doing what is best for our kids. And, you know, this is a good caveat to say to make sure that you are consulting with your attorney, because it can put you at risk, but you can't expect the school to uphold some of these expectations that so-and-so is not allowed to come and see your kid or pick up your kid unless there's some sort of legal documentation that you've been able to provide to the school. Isn't that right?
Oh, yes. And I would say the documentation is where we get into the stickiest situations. And so if you can imagine, you started the school year as a married couple, you registered your child with both parents, and we don't know any different, and we will continue to let both parents pick up, drop off, come in to volunteer, whatever you want to do, until we hear otherwise. So if something is happening, like you're saying, no, I'm becoming the full-time guardian, your dad is not allowed to come pick the kids up, we're having concerns about perhaps kidnapping, or, you know, our custody agreement doesn't involve the school, we need paperwork on that. But the other thing I will say is you need to understand we will take that paperwork to a T. So I was working with a family a few years ago where they had paperwork saying actually the mom could not pick up the kids from school, and they had gotten back together and were given another go at it, and they did not make the school aware. And so when she popped up to pick him up early and take him to the dentist, we put the school on lockdown because we thought a kidnapper was coming to take him. And that was a pretty scary afternoon and pretty humiliating for her, as you can imagine. But we're just doing our thing and we are calling the police. You're not allowed on campus. There is paperwork right here. And like, you can argue with us all you want. You can even get your husband on the phone. But like, we have papers saying you cannot be here on campus. So just understand, I know it is expensive to get that paperwork, but schools take it seriously. And maybe that's comforting to hear to some families here. Like, yeah, we put the school on lockdown because this person showed up. But you also have to really understand what the full scope of that means. Something you might want to consider as well when you're getting that paperwork done. Maybe there's somebody that you don't want picking up, but you want to go ahead and add a couple of people that are allowed. Maybe you've got, you know, your grandma or like a trusted family friend. Throw their name in the paperwork too, saying like, hey, but these people are fine. Because once you have paperwork saying there's somebody not allowed to pick up your child, it is so much more serious who is taking that child home, how they're getting home. Like, we really look at those with a fine tooth comb because we don't want to make any mistakes. Your child's safety is of the utmost concern. And the last thing we want is somebody coming and taking your kiddo and they didn't have permission.
That's an amazing point. I mean, just as important it is to communicate with the school that, hey, here's some changes, we're separating, it would be extremely important to let them know that, hey, we are also now back together. Or, you know, maybe that a DVPO has been lifted, if that's the case. Because sometimes things do work out, especially maybe even in collaborative law positions where there is like a family neutral and things do start to end up looking better. We have to think about the age of the student. If it's elementary, then that's several years of this kid's life. And so if they can still have a relationship and now you need the other parent to come and pick up your sick child and you're at work, but there's documentation saying that they cannot do that, well, it's just going to create more heartache for everybody. It's going to be, and at the same time, I'm sure for the child, that poor kid whose school was on lockdown, I'm sure they were feeling it too once it came out what was going on. You know, that
thank goodness
is,
we were able to protect the privacy of the reason, thank goodness. But that's got to be tough, like going home to that situation, realizing how sticky things can get.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the whole situation is tough there. But I think that these are some important aspects that people have to think about. When it comes to even just like the academics and homework, you know, I did want to circle back to that because now that a student might be spending time in two different households, obviously parents divorce for a reason. And it can very easily be said that maybe they have different parenting styles or perspectives. And so you might have one household that is staying on top of keeping the student, you know, on track, and then another that's not. Or maybe even the kid leaves their homework at the other parent's house or whatever. Like, are there any tips that you can provide to help parents that might be dealing with a situation like that, or even to hopefully prevent situations like that?
Sure. So I want to take this kind of at a couple levels, kind of looking at the like, we're co-parenting at our best, but things aren't going to be the same. And then when things are maybe a little bit more contested between the parents. So if you are trying to co-parent, you know that there's going to be differences here. I would just get on top of that. And maybe you're when you're emailing the teacher, always get both parents on that and ask the teacher to reply all. But teacher's not always going to hit reply all. They might forget. So you're going to have to kind of watch and make sure that the other parent was involved. Some parents share an email together, and this is the school email. Like every year, we just sign up with this same email. Both parents have access to it and can check it and can communicate. But both parents can also check what was sent out of there and what was going on. That can get a little complicated. I think you really got to be on, you know, the teamwork game to make that happen. But the other thing that you can do is make a default parent for the communication and just know and trust, like, this is the parent. The school calls this person first. The emails go to this person first. And any other information is going to be relayed to the other parent as needed. So those are the kind of three ways. If you are seeing homework in particular is really difficult to keep up with, I would reach out. A lot of schools have really changed their homework policies, in particular if your child is in Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools, which is where we're recording right now. The elementary schools have really taken a step back on homework policy because of things like this. It is not fair to grade homework because it is done at home in an environment that the teacher is not in charge of. Some kids are coming in with the homework perfect because their parents made sure every answer was perfect. Some kids can't get homework done at all because nobody's there to help them and they don't know how to read and they're little, you know? So I would reach out to the teacher and kind of explain, like, we are struggling to get consistency here. What is your bare minimum recommendation of what absolutely needs to be done? Or is there reason to be concerned that we cannot get a consistent handle on homework? They'll be able to answer based on the child's academics what is really going to be the most serious bang for your buck there with the homework. If things are a little more serious, serious disparity between the two parents, I think that is something worth talking to the teacher about. Because a lot of times if we are seeing that one week they're going home to a home that is functioning, there's a schedule, there's consistency to it, and then the following week they're going to a home that is not as regulated, we see a swing between behavior, between academic success certain weeks. I've worked with teachers that knew that they could not give a test to the child the week that they are with their dad. They should only be giving tests the week that they're with the mom. And they were literally like delaying or trying to schedule things to make sure that they were given on the week where the kid had the best chance of success. Not every teacher can schedule things like that, but it is worth knowing and understanding that they are going to be different from week to week. And for some kids, that is really extreme, especially if we're seeing inconsistent bedtimes or maybe one parent is just not living the kind of life that you would want them to be. And that is something you should really talk to the teachers about.
That's a good point to add in, probably to that initial email even, is just saying things are really amicable or, you know, there's some tension here between, you know, dad and I, and we're doing our best to not let little Susie feel that. But I'm sure it's inevitable. She'll be with me this week, but starting next week, she'll spend a week there, so on and so forth, whatever switch off days are and stuff like that. I think that those are the things, because kids do need a routine. They need structure in order to set themselves up for success. And really, you said it in the very beginning, our kids are spending sometimes more time at school than they are with us. You know, yes. I mean, and yes, maybe it is more time with us, but they're sleeping, you know, so they spend more time awake at school. And communication, it seems like, is key. If a student has more than one teacher, do they need to go ahead and just email all teachers?
I would try and get all the teachers on an email, yeah. Because otherwise you're trusting the one teacher that you did email to deliver everything in the same fashion. Hopefully they're just forwarding things along, but I would just try to stay in control of your narrative and who is getting in there. It's not a bad idea to include the school counselor on that email too. School counselors are very busy, but they can make time for things like this. Maybe talk to your child once or twice just to kind of check in and be like, hey, I'm an adult that you can trust. If you're ever feeling sad or nervous, you know, let me know. They'll have like a mini session with them, just kind of talk about coping skills. I would stay in control of that narrative as much as you can. Something else you might do as well is check in once a month, every couple of weeks, and say like, hey, we've been doing, you know, the back and forth for a little while now. Are you noticing any differences? Is everything going smoothly? That feedback is really important because I know it takes time to get your new life built the way that you want. And also, I mean, if you are trying to prove that maybe you are the parent that is a little bit better, emails like that describing that things are better on your week compared to the other week can go really far when you're talking about custody arrangements.
It's a great point. It's a great point. And having that in written email form is helpful. But at the same time, if a teacher ever needed to speak to character, they would be able to say how available one parent is or is not. And that does go a long way. So that's really great perspective. As we wrap up here, Natalie, in your opinion, for all of the moms listening right now, if there were one thing that you would want to leave them with, if they've got an elementary age child that's in this transition and they're determined to help them feel at ease as best as possible and like they have a very supportive tribe around them, what's the one thing that you would want to leave them with today?
I want you to know that the school is your friend. I know that sometimes schools can feel intimidating. We hear so much that schools are busy and understaffed, but this is exactly the place where school can shine for you. So if you need help, support, guidance, a shoulder to lean on, just reach out. Just ask for help. Schools are here for you. Teachers are here for you. And I think you'll find that schools are filled with very empathetic people that are excited to help out. So do not underestimate the power of what can happen with an email just asking a question.
I mean, at the end of the day, isn't that why teachers get into it? Is because they really care about kids. They enjoy working with kids. And what better resource to ask than somebody who has the patience and the grace to put up with an entire classroom of little children? You know, I mean, when you have 30 kids around you, I mean, that's a far bigger sample than a mama who has one kiddo. And you guys see this year over year. It's not like divorce is an anomaly. So you have better experience and with an array of different personalities and how they handle this. And maybe the right book or the right podcast or something to go and listen to that might suit that child's personality a little bit better in that situation. Because at the end of the day, our goal here is to just make sure that we hopefully are supporting our kiddos with better mental health throughout the whole process. So, you know, kids are resilient, but at the same time, there's no denying that they will be affected by this regardless. And so we just have to do the best that we can. And the bigger the tribe, I feel like the better we can do. Isn't that helpful to get a perspective from someone that's worked with elementary kiddos and has experience in helping them through these tough transitions? As Natalie shared, an email totally suffices for this situation to inform the teachers of any changes happening within your home. It's helpful to send an email to each of the teachers to ensure that they're all kept in the loop. Doing this proactively a week or so prior to your living circumstances changing would be a really big help. Keep it simple. Let them know that you're going through a separation, what it is that you've told your child about it, what their living situations will be, as in who they'll be with, how often, and who else might be involved now, and any other important changes in the student's day-to-day routine. Might be helpful for you to check in after the first couple of weeks just to see how your child is adjusting, and then check in periodically on their performance. Don't be afraid to let your child's teachers know if you're experiencing a bit more of a rough patch or if something substantial changes so that they can be on the lookout to support them in the classroom. Be sure to promptly update any school paperwork, including who can or cannot pick up your child. Make sure to bring in the proper legal documentation if that's necessary. The school wants the best for your child, so use them as a resource when you can. Now, down in the show notes, I've actually linked Natalie's offer for her free email templates to help you draft effective emails to your child's teacher, along with her information so that you can connect with her and check out her very informative YouTube channel. We also worked to put together a guide of 5 ways that the school may be able to help you in your divorce. So you can find that, along with a multitude of divorce-related resources, by visiting peaceofminddivorce.info, and you can access the full resource library. All you have to do is head to peaceofminddivorce.info and sign up for free today. Until next week, friend, I wish you nothing but peace and determination.